wonderful his presence tonight. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, this is where we belong. Lord, not in a church, Lord, because we are the church. And Lord, to be seated in heavenly places, Lord, we're not going anywhere. Dwelling, Lord, and you dwelling in us, Father. Lord, we just rest in your presence tonight, Lord. Just may all the things of the day just fall off of us, Lord. And may we just truly, Lord, just say that we've got more than enough time because we're seated in eternity, Lord. To just rest in you, Lord. To be comforted by you, the Comforter, Lord. To feast at your table tonight, Lord. Lord, and to just quicken your word to us, Lord, and just may it just burn in our hearts, Lord. May it enlighten our eyes, Lord. May it give us joy and gladness, Lord. May it affect our bodies, Lord. May it quicken, Lord, your word, Lord, and have an effect, Lord, in our lives, Lord, as we go. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would give something to everybody here, Lord, tonight, Lord. And you already promised it, Lord. And so, Lord, we just ask more, Lord, that you just remove our mindsets, Lord, so we could receive, Lord, because it's there for us, Lord. We just commit the service into your hands now, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you. Good to have Laura and Lilia back. I know it was a while ago, but we were out of town, so. And thank you, Nate, for worship, and thanks for all the songs. Praise God. How's everybody tonight?
Good.
Wonderful. Praise God. God bless you, sister Lenore. Amen. I'd just like to take a thought tonight. Something very simple. And yet something that can be so puzzling because it's our everyday. And that's... how to live a perfect day in Christ. How to live a perfect day. And so, yes, I'm probably going to show you. But hopefully the Lord will show you because he does a better job than I do. So let's just stand. Can we just read Psalms chapter 18? Sorry. Actually, that's another perfect day. Let's do... Psalms 118, because that, yes. And so what I'm going to tell you is that Psalms 118 is the perfect day. And you could say, if you know Psalms 18, you'd say, well, this is, doesn't look like a perfect day. But we're going to go right to the part that we usually hear as a soundbite. And that's verse 18. The Lord has chastened me sore. Wait, no, that's not the verse, right? The Lord has chastened me sore. That's not a perfect day. We must have just missed it. Okay, let's try verse 23 and verse 24. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You may be seated. What a puzzling thing to know that there's all, if you look at the title of Psalms 118, it's thanksgiving for the Lord's saving goodness. And that's, amen. When we go into a day with gratitude and thanksgiving, we're looking with these eyeballs, but we're coming with a perspective that's different. So we could go through a day. The main thing is to have the right perspective, to have God's perspective. Easy? So how many, we've talked about how we get up in the morning, we're like, we don't plan to have a bad day. How many people write in their journal, today I want to do something different, I want to have a bad day? No. But we probably think, nobody's going to have a perfect day. So I hope I have a really good day and I'm going to start it out right. And so we have routines in our day to help make that perfect day. And some things are natural. We do hygiene. We do these things. And you could say, well, that's great. That's a really good, perfect day. If we just got up, got dressed, we put ourselves together. Naturally, that's really easy to explain, right? Fix our hair. Sometimes not. And but it's amazing what fixing your hair will do when you're talking to other people, is these things that actually make it more of a good day for everybody. And so having a good attitude, all these things that we know and we could talk about. And usually at the end of the day, we're gonna try to go through this in the first layer, and that's a naturally good day is what we're talking about. What am I talking about? And so we think the naturally good day is if I wrote a list, I did my routines, I did the morally acceptable things to do, and I got into bed and I said, I did everything on my list. Wow, this is a really good day. Everything that I planned to do was a good day. And then we would look back and be satisfied. And yet we know that that the rich man said, today was a great day. I'm going to build bigger barns. I was so successful that I'm going to actually do even better tomorrow. And we know that he was only looking in the natural and in provision, in natural provision, and then his soul was required of him. Lucifer, in Ezekiel 28, it said he was perfect in all his ways, yet iniquity was found in him. And so usually in our day, as we're walking now, going into the spiritual perfect day, as we say, we know by our conscience and we know by the teaching that we've heard, we can't do it. We will fall every time. And yet we say, okay, I need, as the scripture says, and as Brother Branham said, I need to put God first. Because if I put him first and I deny myself and I ask him for him to come through, that he's going to come through me today and it's going to be a good day today, but it's not going to probably work out by the end of the day. And hopefully, like, as I get older, when I get to be as old as some people, they'll be more a percentage of perfect in my day. And yet we know that that's time doesn't change anything, does it? But it's a letting this mind that is in Christ Jesus be in us, yielding to the process, right? I'm just trying to give a snapshot thumbnail. To be able to say, going from natural to spiritual, we get up, we read our Bible, we pray, we ask for God's guidance for our plan. We ask for God's guidance for help, for strength. And these are all wonderful principles. And then through the day, we can become influenced. And influences come, and all of a sudden, we are stopped in our tracks, because we're being pulled down or we're being pulled up. And so how we occupy our time is huge with that. I'm just going to just kind of not completely dive into all of Psalms 118, because when we get too granular, we can lose where we are and what we're talking about. And so I don't want to do that too much. But you can see that if we just look, and I want you to just... I'm not going to say the word skim because it's too good, but we're just going to look for themes here. So right from Psalms 118 in verse 1, it comes with thanksgiving, and it's this recognition. His mercies are always there. His mercies are new every morning. And it's to let everyone know and to say this, to declare this. And to those that fear the Lord is his mercy. And then calling. So it's the first, a day starts with recognition of his mercy. So now we're jumping into it. It's to realize, Lord, thank you that your mercy is here every morning. And so hopefully I won't get through this too fast. I don't want to go too fast on you guys. But to think that the next thing that happens, verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. Well, that can't be a perfect day. Because perfect days are full of sunshine and rainbows and butterflies, and bad days are not perfect days. But if we think of the term to put a lens on is what is perfect, and that is a finished work, but it's also a completeness. And so that if we had, say, 90,000 days in our life, and we each of them was like Psalms 118, where we had this recognition of God's mercy and all these, where he was our help and even delivering us from our own mistakes and then walking in victory at the end of the day rather than going into the next one, living like Lucifer did in iniquity. Now we've had a perfect day and a continual perfect day even more and more as we go along. Is that making sense at all? Okay. So, the first thing he did, Noah, in verse 5, what was the perfect thing that David did in his distress? He called on the Lord. So the first thing we do, sorry, I can't let you beat him to it though, because how will we have this audience participation? So the first thing he did is call upon the Lord. So for us to call for help, ask for help in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Immediately, he answered. The Lord is at my side. So now there's an awareness in our day, the Lord is at our side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And this, remember, we live in a world where there's thousands of streaming services that want you to follow and subscribe, and they want to give you fear. Then they're even believing Christians, and they want to put you in fear of this and that, and you know. And so, the Lord is at my side, I will not be afraid. So that's it. Now we're equipped with that. And the Lord will take my part with them that help me, therefore I will see my desires upon them that hate me. So all of a sudden now, the conundrums of being in the midst of enemies, he's saying, I have that right perspective of God will stand for me against my enemies. And now we know this part is so huge because without this, he would faint. David would faint. So it is better, verse 8, to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And so now, immediately, he's not a prepper anymore. He's not afraid. He's not this. I always have to be up all night, you know, with my hand on my sword. Because remember, in these times, he was a fugitive. Is that he is saying that it is better to trust the Lord and to wait upon him for that strength to come from him. And he keeps going on, it's better to trust in the Lord. It's better to trust the Lord. Even when the nations come past me about, I will destroy them because the Lord is my help. And the surroundingness, they come past me about like bees. And the Amplified says, they flared up and are extinguished like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. My enemy pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. So this is, again, tons of trials, tons of fiery things, and yet he wasn't sitting there biting his fingernails and thinking, like, maybe I should just check this and check that and check this. And he was standing, even though someone right next to him could be completely dismayed, he was saying, the Lord has helped me and will help me. The Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. And we know that this is an everyday thing, as his deliverance is in every moment of every day. It's not just a one-time thing long ago. And it's just like the bleeding word. It's like we have this deliverance is circulating and it's continuing to deliver us in every moment of every day from our enemies. So again, we're talking to go back to the main point is to say each day we can have a perfect day. I had struggles when I was a teenager of being in the Roman 7 wretched man where you have the law of sin pulling you down so hard and you just want to see the light, and you're under condemnation, and I'm just continually under condemnation, and to realize that we don't have to be in condemnation. We don't have to be in a place that we are, we don't know what else to do with our time. I remember, again, getting to the point where I was wanting to serve God, and I was just wanting to love him, and I was just thinking, what do I do with my time? I can read my Bible, and I'd read my Bible, and I'd read my Bible, but then what else do I do with the rest of my time? How do I not? Because then if I did something, all of a sudden now that thing would pull me into something else, and then worse and worse and worse. So I had this, I was at this crossroads, and every day of, okay, there's a righteous path. There's a path over on the left here that's just going down to worldly pleasures. And I think some of it's okay, but why does it always lead to me doing the worst things that I didn't want to do before? You don't have to raise your hand if you've been there before, but you know where I'm going with this. And then you have on the other side, as we become in Christ, and young people, I notice this in myself, is again, to have a perfect day as we start out with a renewed will. I want to serve God. I want to do the right thing. And at the end of the day, how many times did we not do the right thing? Because that was our will that was renewed to serve God. We said, I'm going to do it. And yet our will fail. And so we have to go right to our knees and say, Lord, I need your power and your will. I need your self-control. My self-control is very limited. It'll get me 10 minutes into my day, maybe. And it will probably be in my own strength. And that's where the other path goes to destruction is, I have done all these things. The perfect day has three paths. No, has one path, which is that righteous path of shining towards the light more and more. And that's, let's go to Philippians 4:18. Such a good picture. Now, again, this is the perfect day picture. It's a process. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong spot. Sorry, Proverbs 4:18. That was a test of your patience with me. Noah, a Christian, could you read that for us? And read verse 17, because it's talking about the wicked in contrast with us, the righteous. Proverbs 4, and that is truly Proverbs 4, verse 17, if you got it. Sorry to put you on the spot, Noah. You're having to look. Okay, Christian, go ahead. And then verse 18. There it is. So we see that wonderful path, right? Is the path of the just is as the shining light, and that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And we could take that keyword search, just, and find a just man falleth seven times. A just man falleth seven times. He's just. He doesn't fall. He never falls. No, but it's the process is that he keeps getting up. He's not going and saving iniquity in the fridge leftovers for tomorrow. And so we have that of saying, quick repentance, get up, not going to do that. And again, not being under condemnation, but as I remember falling into that Romans 7 law of sin and that wretched man, and then coming to the end verse of who can deliver me from this. And then Romans 8:1, to the mercies new every morning verse in Romans 8:1, talking about that. Let's just go there. Because this was such a good perspective now to remember we can have a perfect day. Romans 8:1, deliverance from bondage. So we don't have to live in every day in bondage. We can have a perfect day being free. Who can I pick on? Levi, do you have your Bible open? Okay. Well, she has it open already. Oh, way to go, Grandma. Thank you, Levi. For the law of the Spirit of life, that's what we need to have a perfect day. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So we see that in verse 5, we can see that we have that this perspective. Verse 5 is so good because it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. So we bring our bodies under subjection to say, I have to have the Holy Spirit indwelling, and then I have to feed that Holy Spirit every day in prayer, in reading, and not starve that out, not lay siege to that. As soon as I start doing lots of worldly things, all of a sudden now I make myself weak in the Spirit because I'm walking after the flesh. And I make myself my flesh strong, and now I go down that path again. And that's the back door for Satan to come in, is to feed our flesh. And it could be something just as simple and as silly as just not reading our Bible and just listening to the news. Just constantly, just one versus the other. And it could be nothing wrong with the news, but not feeding that inner man. So we have to keep that white dog strong and that black dog completely anemic and unable to come in and get us again. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so notice that when you have peace, it only comes from feeding of the Word of God. We know that from Scripture. And these things that we wake up every morning with and we're thirsty for in our soul, we have to feed through the day in order to have a perfect day. So we have to feed ourselves the right things. Just going back to the natural, we could say again, we have to be washed, we have to eat, and we have to work. Those three principles, and then we have to rest. And so to be able to say, every day we have to be cleansed by the water of the Word. We have to feed on the Word. And we have to, the fourth thing was rest. And the third thing was, I missed it. It was work. Yes, to work. And so there is a part for us to do. Thank you, Nate. There's a part for us to do. Abiding in him creates that bubbling artesian well out of us, rivers of living water flowing. So we have to abide in him. We have to be that Psalms 1 tree planted by the rivers of water. We have to be drawing. We have to be pulling from him all day long. We get to be pulling from him all day long because this is a joyful thing. And so many times I would come back from camps and I'd be like, I got to do it. I got to do the right thing. I got to have the perfect day. I got to get it together, Stephen. You got to do it. And when to say that there's so many wonderful things that we can do each day with our time. The next thing I want to go into is that we have to have the joy of the Lord for our strength every day. If we don't have the joy of the Lord for our strength, that's when Satan can come in and try to get at us. And we know this because we look at, in the Scripture, David, how he was in that place where he was not in the battle, and then he fell to lust. And what was interesting with this is that it wasn't a one day and then he repented and then everything was fine. Like, oh, good. That was, yeah. And we know it was joy because remember how he said, renew a right spirit and restore the joy of my salvation. So he had lost the joy of his deliverance, of his salvation. He had lost that. And so it was a multi-day thing carrying in one day into the next day. Now this is a not perfect day. It's not a perfect week. It's a bad week where he just continues. How many wonderful psalms did he write about, you know, like Psalms 119, his mercies endure forever. And he's just so enthralled. And now he's waking up the next morning. And how many days as a man after God's own heart did he have that? Oh, I know his mercies are new today. I know, but I didn't repent. I'm going to continue on in this. I'm going to keep going and not yielding to a perfect day. And we see what happened. He kills a man to cover his sin. He has a baby out of wedlock. And then the baby dies. Why? Because he wouldn't yield and he didn't do the right thing. And so again, because he had lost, he had gotten the wrong spirit, but then he also lost the joy of the Lord. And but what's so wonderful is that's not the end of the story. It was a bad week or a few weeks, but then God forgave him even though there was consequences and that he could still go forward and continue to have perfect days. One of my favorite scriptures that David said is, I will behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. So again, his overarching was, I will be satisfied when I don't look like David in the mirror. I look like Jesus. Again, that ultimate perfection of a day. Another perspective every day for us to have that, and this is what the Spirit has in us, and I've mentioned this before, is that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We know that. So we have to say, okay, there's nothing in this flesh that can do it. But the Spirit is ready with eagerness. Ready with eagerness to what? To yield to the growth, the spiritual growth mindset is he's going to do it today in me. He's going to do it today in me. By his grace, he's going to do it. I will be better tomorrow than today. And God's got better things for me today. To wake up and be able to have faith that I won't be the same person tomorrow morning as I am today. Every day I'm yielding to the process. Then fiery trials come. And then, as we saw in Psalms 18, and yet that's again when we are just asking him. That's when we are looking to him, and for us to take away that thinking of think it not strange, like what in the world is happening? Why am I going through all these problems? And to be able to say, to me, I'm still wrapping my head around the joy and the rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And sometimes it's mechanical, and sometimes it's actually because we're full of joy. And I think my saints of God, I was reading on this, all the scriptures on joy and rejoicing. There's so many wonderful things. When we have the joy of the Lord in our heart and it's so full and overflowing, it does rub off on other people. And they can see that we have something that's different. And it's not just joy in our heart, but it's that scripture, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. We are that people that has returned to the Lord and that we're singing and everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. We have an everlasting joy. I always thought that was just future tense, but to think that we are that people. My peace I leave with you, Jesus said, be of good cheer. So we have to have that peace goes right along hand in hand with joy. And we know that that's that quick way where Satan can get in to get to rob our joy is to, if he can pull on the peace and get rid of the peace, he can get rid of the joy. They are connected. They are interconnected. So watch that, protect that peace and keep feeding that peace. We shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Our sorrow gets turned into joy. Psalms 19, how I'm just going to breeze through these so that we can just get the context. How that Psalms 19, when we dive into to all that God is, here's another one that we can do with our time, is creation. What he has created. To discover, if I talked about a flower, like a chrysanthemum, and I told you it has 120 petals, it has pistils, it has the male part, the female part, the leaves, all these things, you just say, Stephen, just this is really boring. But if you showed me a chrysanthemum, you'd say, let me just stare at this for a while. And when Jesus, again, how we can have a perfect day, the part of it is, what can we do with our time that I'm talking about? What can we do to go in the direction of Jesus on that path towards the shining light with the time that we have where we're not working, we're not praying or reading our Bible or doing the things that we need to do, and we just have some free time. I love when it says, consider the lilies of the field. That word consider is to stop and listen and to really reflect and contemplate. And that really helped me because we live in an age where you scroll through and you don't contemplate and you just skim. Okay, information, I need to get the information. I was talking to a doctor that's a Christian and he says, I don't read books. I just go to the book and I go, find the part where I need, and I go, okay, there, that's what I need. Okay, done. And he says, I can't read books because I want to enjoy books, but my brain says, get in there, get in and get out. And so for us to be able to slow down in our day, to enjoy and to take time to go out in nature, find something in nature to reflect on. I think it's just crazy that we have a scripture that says, if you're lazy, go look at ants. You're crazy, if you're lazy, go look at ants. That's the antidote for laziness. So we are, I'd like to actually pull up a slide on something just to give you a little slice there's so many things in nature that are so complex and that will blow your mind of God if you'll just stop and reflect and consider. I'm on the Wi-Fi. I'm mirroring and it's thinking. How many of you guys seen the talk on the gemstones, the 12 gemstones of the New Jerusalem, that how it's built with the 12 gemstones. I know you had sent out an AI-generated animation on all the buildings of the different gemstones and on the priests, the Urim and Thummim, and on the shoulders, and that's a really good example. I might just have to hold up my iPad because it's not connecting, Jesse. But they did it with the 12 gemstones, and they used pure light through a polarized filter, and shone it on gemstones. But the ones that were the 12 gemstones in the Bible, that the city is going to be made of, are these. So we see these beautiful gemstones. And even this, for me, this is one of the things, young people, like, that helped me make good use of my time, was like, when it says, oh, that's jasper, that's the jasper stone right there, to say that that is, that's the jasper stone, which I know it can be clear as well, but it can also be like fire, where it's red. And then, thank you, Philip. I am, he was right. I was on the guest. I was not on the right network. So these are so fascinating, because think about this, saints of God. Like, we can read our Bible in words, but this is actually the thoughts of God visually. To think that was in his mind. He said sapphire, and he said that's. So if you go home and read all the word searches on sapphire, and that's what he was thinking in his mind. And he was thinking, yeah, that's that color. And we have sardonyx and emerald and chrysolite and beryl. If you look, remember how the Ezekiel saw the wheel, and he said it was the color of beryl. So that wheel up in the sky was that color. And so, but yet now they've done where they've shone pure light on it. Still not connecting. And if you do it on things like diamonds with shining pure light on it, you just get gray. Things that we regard in this world as really exciting. It's just very, just blasé, because it's not highly valued by God. And then if you go to those 12 stones, this is what they look like that we just looked at underneath that pure light. So now you have jasper, and it looks like this: sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, beryl. So you look at all the complexity, where they haven't been able to have done this till this century, where now all of a sudden you look at the complexity, that even if you look at it in pure light, it looks completely different and almost like multidimensional. Because it is. That's right. And so to think, okay, what am I saying here? Is a perfect day is understanding our perfect God. Is to, you don't, no one, praise God, no one goes to work on Monday morning Christian and is like, oh man, what did you do with your time? Like, well, I looked at gemstones and I'm just feeling so guilty and I'm just feeling regret. There's so much to think that was in, that is a thought of God. Amen. And we don't even see that. We just see it in two different ways. It probably has a sound. It probably has an aroma, if we could put it into an essential oil. So I hope that's a blessing to you on that, is to be able to take that. Now, we look at George Washington Carver. Here he was in a lab. He was a chemist. Has anybody read about George Washington Carver in school? Any of the youth? Yeah, oh, Eliana. So anybody over in this section? Okay, Emma, yes. What an amazing, so what, Emma, what is one of the things he's well known for of unpacking? Okay. Yeah, he was fascinating himself. Does anybody remember what he's famous for? Peanuts, that's right. Derek, he was just saying it. It was his chance. It's the peanut. You could say, okay, he's not thinking, oh, Lord, what should I do with my time? I don't want to do the wrong thing. He was just immersed, just like this picture we just saw, is he said, after he was finally understood how genius he was, because he came up with, what was it, Derek, about 300 different inventions for the use of the peanut? Dynamite. Plastic, that he used all everything he brought out of it. And they said, how did you do this? How did you create this? Or like, how did you know? And he says, I just went into my lab and I asked the Lord, you made the peanut. Would you show me its secrets? Would you show me the secrets of a peanut? So imagine he's in the lab, like, just like, wow. Just the peanut by itself. Again, this is a perfect day that he had. And he was saying, okay, I've made 50 inventions. Tell me more. That's not enough. I know you, Lord. We saw two things with the gemstones. He's saying, I'm not done at 100. Lord, there's more in a peanut than 100 things. And to think that you could make dynamite and blow it up and then you could eat it. And it's wonderful, isn't it? And so to think that God has, that's a perfect day, is taking hold of what he has for us in the little simple creations that he made. And they're so mind-blowing if we can just stop and ponder. I love that scripture. We all know Psalms 24 or 27. One thing I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And I love that. That word inquire means to sit and admire. Just to admire. And just think, wow, we can just, if we can get past the, oh, I got to do the thing and I got to pray and I got to do this. Like, no, that's like the scarecrows of what it really actually is to be able to say, I can actually admire something God did and finally see the genius of the simplicity. And then I'll go deeper and deeper and deeper. And again, what does it do? It lightens our eyes, just like Psalms 19. It's sweeter than honey. It has so many good effects. Sometimes I don't even realize it. I'll be listening, instead of listening to some podcast on an info on whatever, I'll actually listen to something that feeds my parenting soul. That's biblical. And then I'll turn that off and I'll go to a tuning and I'm like, I'm just so happy. I have so much joy. And I feel like, and then I act that out and I feel happier. Is again, we're glomming onto things of becoming better of what God made us to be. And it all comes from just saturating our spiritual and our natural senses. It's okay to saturate our natural senses. Praise God for that. That we can, and it could be in studying physics. It could be playing cello. It could be all of these things. And running. It could be in running. Like Eric Ludi. Little. Yeah, I always get the two mixed up. Eric Little. And how he says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And when we feel his pleasure, that's the opposite of guilt. Is that it's not guilty pleasure. It's his good pleasure. So that's our criteria of having that perfect day. And we're going to wrap it up. Musicians, would you come? So it's not the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. It's the admiring him. It's the saturating him in. It's the walking it out. It's the absorbing. And now it's on our face. It's on our head. People can see we're glowing. And then it's repenting. It's coming back to him. And it's seeing him work mightily in us and seeing his word work mightily in us every day. And that's a perfect day. More and more every day, yielding to the process. Can we sing that song? We're walking, walking, walking in the light. Is that how, did I say it right, Derek? Yeah, yeah. In the light. Every day. I was already, I knew it was the Lord to speak on this is the day that the Lord hath made. I call, a client called me yesterday and she goes, Stephen, you gotta come tune my piano. It's really bad. So I call her back and I get her voicemail and she goes, and her voicemail is, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for calling. Leave a message. Have a blessed day. And praise God for that confirmation. And I just thought, my, if we could just say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We should sing that song. That will be the next one. Okay. We will walk, walk, walk in the light. We will walk, walk, walk in the light. We will walk, walk, walk in the light. Walking in the light of God. Oh, it's a great day to serve the Lord. It's a great day to serve. Yes, let's all stand. It's a great, great day to serve the Lord. Oh, walking in the light. It's a great day. Oh, it's a great day to serve the Lord. It's a great day to serve the Lord. It's a great day to serve the Lord. Oh, walking in the light of the Lord. Can you see it, saints? Better than ever before. We didn't talk about the news. We didn't talk about the world. We didn't talk about the darkness. We didn't talk about the doomsday. We're in Goshen. We're not in Sodom. We're Abraham. We're the bride. We don't have to be in that climate. We can be studying the peanut. We can be looking into the eyes of our Savior. And we can be becoming and beholding. And it's light, can be light all around us, even in the midst, like in the fiery furnace. I just kept coming back. Talk about the fiery furnace. Is that the faith to say, our God is able. To have that faith in every day. Our God is able. He's more than able to deliver us. And in that perfect day, that was a great perfect day for them. And he said, they said, and even if he doesn't, we will still serve him. And notice they didn't stand there still in the fire. It says there was one, they were walking in the fire. I don't think that they were standing there, okay, well, just hopefully this is going to be over pretty soon. I'm sure they're just, we're not burning. This is amazing. Look at Shadrach. I'm on standing on logs that are burning. And I'm over here. And I'm going to put my feet down in them. And I'm not burning. Look at my arm. It's in the flame. I'm not burning. They weren't standing there just like the pictures say. We can be in the fiery furnace, saints of God, because he comes down for us every day. Like in Psalms 18, when the Lord delivered him, is that every day is a perfect day in the fiery furnace, in faith, knowing that he is able, and that we're not even touched, and that we stand firm on him in joy and in faith. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Matthew, would you come close us in a word of prayer? I know, I think we've asked you a couple times now, so...
Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for this time that you've given us. Help us to use the rest of it for you. Quicken it to our hearts, dear Lord. As we get ready to leave and protect everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. We'll sing. What was the song again, Derek? This, He Hath Made Me Glad. Yeah, I think it's in F or G, whatever you prefer. No, it's in C. It's in C. I think it's in C. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thank you. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he. Oh, we're entering into his gates. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with in his house. Amen. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he's making me glad again. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. For, can we go up to F, and this, for this is the day, or G? This is the day, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day, oh, this is the day that the Lord has. Jesus is the way, for Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord. The way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way that the Lord has made. We used to go back to see. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. That sounds high. I think it's F. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. To say I'm happy and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in. What's the next verse, Emma? I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. We're to go up now, and I'm so happy. No, very happy. We go to G, right in the middle of, in between. And I'm so happy. Thank you, very happy. Thank you. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy, that I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. The next verse, I've got the love of Jesus, love of Jesus down in my heart. Oh, down in my heart. Right on my face, I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart to say, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed whenever you want to. For there is no condemnation down in. I've never heard that one. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. For there is therefore now no condemnation down in. Praise God. Down in my heart to stay. That's why I'm happy.